Why did you bring a gun to a meeting with the President of the United States, given the violent history of this country with regard to presidents and assassinations? Why'd you bring a gun to a public event with the president?
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. It's August 13th, 2009, and we had an archive show last night, so we weren't able to talk about something that was in the news yesterday, but strangely enough, has disappeared from Google News if you do a search for it. I'm puzzled.
It really is strange, because something like this you'd think would be a big deal, and it... especially because it feeds something that we call just a repeated meme.
This idea that's being repeated right over and over again, almost telegraphing that something is going to happen.
Yeah, the story was from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where President Obama was to deliver a town hall on his health care proposal. And there was a gentleman outside this town hall who was standing there with a gun strapped to his hip and a protest sign. Now, in New Hampshire, according to CBS News, this gentleman was within his legal rights because he was on private property. He had a permit for the gun, and it was not a concealed weapon. It was wearing it openly. There are states where wearing the gun openly is okay. Carrying it concealed is not. But you'd think that with the President of the United States there, regardless of whether it's legal or not to carry a handgun in public in that particular locale, that the Secret Service would have an issue with
that.
You
would think so, wouldn't you? The gentleman's name is William Kostrick. He has since appeared on MSNBC and probably a few other places. I did watch a video of his interview from on Hardball with Chris Matthews. Mm-hmm. It was an 8-minute interview. Look, in television news, that is practically impossible. Most of them are 2 minutes.
Yeah, you don't get 8 minutes unless you're a big name.
Right. And I thought, is this a slow news day or what is it? No, it was an 8-minute interview. And William Kostrick, if you take a look on the internet there is so much information out there. He's been around for a long time. He mm-hmm. belongs to a lot of patriot organizations. He's very much someone who believes in carrying guns. Hey, that's fine with me. He moved recently from Arizona to New Hampshire.
Really?
Just so he could carry his gun in public.
Okay, that's interesting.
New Hampshire has more relaxed laws regarding a lot of the issues that are near and dear to patriot organizations.
Well, isn't New Hampshire the state that a lot of the free state movement people want mm-hmm. They want to go to New Hampshire and then basically secede.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in fact, he had signed on to a few pledges on a website that I found yesterday where he was pledging that he would move to New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of the pledge, there are several pledges that people would sign. The whole point of that particular one was exactly as you say, that they wanted to swell the numbers in New Hampshire to get enough people on board that New Hampshire would secede from the Union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've got this gentleman standing with a pre-printed sign that says, I'm sorry, I'm not pulling up the, it's time to water the Tree of Liberty.
Which is a reference to a quote from Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes the Tree of Liberty must be watered, from time to time it must be watered with the blood of patriots.
And tyrants,
right.
Exactly. So we've got someone who's clearly quoting from a line that ends with the blood of tyrants
mm-hmm.
attending a town hall meeting with the President of the United States, a president who has been compared not only to John F. Kennedy, but to Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
The two presidents who have been killed in office, two of the presidents who have been killed in office.
Yeah.
He's standing there with a gun on his hip,
mm-hmm.
a pre-printed sign, and an earpiece.
Now, this is really interesting. I've not seen the video. I've got it up on the web browser right now as we're recording this, and I'm do see a still photo taken. The guy has, you're right, it's a professional type earpiece that you'll often find like security guards or folks wearing.
At the same event, there was an arrest made inside the school. An older gentleman who was arrested because they found a knife on him. And when they took him back and searched his car, they found a gun. He did not have a permit to carry a gun. Plus, even if he had, that gun was on school property.
Yes, and thus not.
The law, even in New Hampshire, is you have to be at least 1,000 feet away from a school.
This pre-printed sign that Kostrick had, it's time to water the tree of liberty, says, brought to you by restoretherepublic.com.org. So don't know anything about that organization, but again, the fact that it's pre-printed, not a handwritten banner, means somebody had some resources that were put into...
Right. First of all, we are not in any way disparaging what may or even guessing at what may or may have been a patriot message in his attendance there.
Right.
I firmly believe in grassroots movements. I firmly believe in the voice of the people being heard. I firmly believe that many of our rights are deteriorating in front of our eyes. However, this guy, that earpiece, and the fact that there was a second man arrested... That bothered me, but here's what bothered me more. Those of you who have seen JFK or really done the movie or really done a lot of reading on the assassination of John F. Kennedy, did the computer just talk to you?
I think my phone is talking to us.
Those of you who have done research on John F. Kennedy, you might have read that there were holes in his protection there in Dallas, gaping holes, some of them pointing to his security from Washington, his Secret Service, some of them pointing possibly to the local Dallas police. Here's what bothers me. The local police, great guys, no doubt, questioned this gentleman, asked him to please move or to remove the gun because he was within 1,000 feet of the school. The officer who was talking with him was trying to get him to move behind a barricade, which William Kostrick, is that
right,
his name?
Kostrick,
Kostrick, don't have it in front of me. Kostrick said, well, I think that looks like more than 1,000 feet. He was quite adamant that he wanted to be, if it had to be 1,000 feet, it had to be exactly at 1,000 feet where he was standing. The chief of police called, this guy's boss. The officer's boss made some phone calls and then called the officer and said, you can tell that gentleman that I have worked it out so he can stand in the church parking lot.
Because, again, the church parking lot, private property. But the
the president of the United States is going to be in that school, and the local police are making sure that a guy with a gun on his hip and, and an earpiece can be close by.
Yeah, that is really bizarre. And that's the whole point here. Again, Kostrick is free to say, you know, whatever he likes, and we think it's despicable, by the way, the way that many of the leading Democratic lawmakers are trying to portray the grassroots opposition to the health care reform bill as being the work of Nazis.
Yeah, AstroTurf.
Yeah, exactly. However, the point is, as Sharon pointed out, what is the chief of police of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, doing intervening in this case?
Exactly.
On behalf of this guy. Secondly, why is it, you know, getting such attention? I mean, because he was clearly not only placed where he could be close by the president, but where he could be very quickly filmed.
Yes, that's the point.
On MSNBC.
That's the whole point. And he was there several hours early.
Right.
All of this occurred prior to the arrival of the president.
Right. And the video I've seen, and he may have been, you know, this may have been talked about on the other networks as well. I don't know. It's just the video that I'm seeing here is from MSNBC. And, of course, Chris Matthews is also on MSNBC, which is the official Obama network. So getting back to the idea of the meme, what are we talking about here? What is the concept that we keep hearing about? And why do we care? We think this all fits back into something that we talked about with, you know, dear brother Dave Duncan several years ago. And the farther we get into this, the more it looks like he really had seen something or been exposed to something through his time in the new age, that there would come a time when Christians, when very conservative Christians in this country would be set up to take a fall, a double cross, as he called it. The meme is that there is a clear and present danger to President Barack Obama from disgruntled conservative whites. And if you think that we're exaggerating here, just run this search term through Google and see how many hits you get and the kind of hits you get. Southern Poverty Law Center, and then Obama. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a group that its stated goal is to track hate groups. It's a nonprofit legal organization, and mm-hmm. they track hate groups, specifically or primarily right-wing hate groups, or at least groups that they label as right-wing mm-hmm. hate groups. Skinheads.
Would you call it the opposite of the ACLU?
No, I'm not the opposite of the ACLU. Well, groups that are the opposite of the ACLU. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU are sort of, I would say, you know, kind of adjunct, mm-hmm. you know, working towards the same goals. The SPLC tracks skinhead groups and white separatist groups, neo-Nazi groups, and organizations like that. And they really came to prominence back in the 90s, when Bill Clinton came to office, and then you had the confrontation with the Weavers at Ruby Ridge, mm-hmm. at Waco.
Were they involved in the Matthew Shepard issue?
I don't know if the Southern Poverty Law Center was involved, but that wouldn't surprise me. Now, and maybe that's even saying too much. I don't know.
I think where you're going with this is that the evil person being painted here mm-hmm. is white Christian.
Yes, yes. And
disgruntled white Christian who hates Obama.
Exactly. There have been just dozens, if not hundreds of news articles, well, probably hundreds of news articles that have been published since the election of President Obama last fall. And again, just run this search and you'll see news articles with headlines like, "After Obama's win, white backlash festers in U.S. Obama's win prompts wave of hate crimes." And these aren't from left-wing blogs. These are from the Christian Science Monitor, from CNN, from the London Times. "Growing hate groups blame Obama's economy."
I don't remember a wave of hate crimes after Obama went to office.
I don't remember either. Well, by definition, isn't a violent crime any violent crime a crime of hatred?
Exactly.
Well, that's another point, another whole argument. But anyway, the meme, again, is that you've got these disgruntled white folks who hate, who are suffering because of the economy, because, you know, clearly they're only good to, you know, work as, you know, in auto plants or mm-hmm. factories and stuff. And they can't stand the fact that an African-American is in the White House. That's the meme. And it's...
Well, and here's what really bothers me is since the new administration came in, mm-hmm. we have spent, as a nation, way more than we're ever going to take in over the next 10 years. It is ridiculous how mm-hmm. much money has been spent. And I really think that it's not just the health care issue. And it has nothing to do with the skin color of the president.
No.
None at all. He could be purple. It doesn't matter. What happens is that people are tired of no one listening to us.
Right.
And sadly, I think many voters are so frustrated right now that Washington appears to be deaf to anyone but the special interest groups. Mm-hmm. That's why at these meetings you find people who are so angry, they're shouting.
Yeah. And so you've got these, again, primarily Democratic lawmakers who are trying to turn that to their political advantage by blaming radical groups. And in conjunction with that, there's a new report issued, not coincidentally, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which warns of a rise in militia groups across the country, blaming, again, mm-hmm. the poor economy, illegal immigration, because, you know, we're also bigots, and the fact that there's an African-American president for this rise in potentially dangerous and violent militia groups across the country.
Just a few days ago, there were arrests made in St. Louis, Missouri, and the reason for that is because there was a town hall meeting with not Claire McCaskill, but with
Congressman Russ Carnahan.
Thank you very much. The gentleman who was arrested was handing out "Don't Tread on Me" flags, and he had been accosted by one of the gentlemen who apparently was from SEIU out of Chicago, which is an Obama, frankly, anti-grassroots.
Talk about
AstroTurf.
Yeah, when you get groups like SEIU and Acorn involved, that's somehow grassroots organization, but you get... You know, soccer moms out there who are really angry, and soccer dads, and suddenly they're plants from the Republican Party.
Well, you know, it's so funny.
We
all sort of laughed when Obama said his, okay, I can become president of the United States because I was a great community organizer. I see now what he means.
Yeah, it's Chicago politics writ large.
Yeah.
So the whole point here is that there will come a backlash. And we pray that President Obama, that nothing, no harm comes to him whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
We do not wish for this. And
we wish harm to no one.
Right. But the way the media keeps playing the story, I mean, we keep reading that the number of death threats against the president, double the number of threats against any prior president of the United States. The Secret Service has to take these all very seriously because that's their job.
Well, and the Department of Homeland Security is now, the playbook says to look for people who are white, patriots, have those "Don't Tread on Me" flags, want to secede.
Yeah.
You know, check off the boxes. Oh, let's see. Oh, you mean William Kostrick?
Exactly.
And you didn't arrest him, Secret Service people?
And all of this leads back to the meme that we believe is being fed to the American public through the media, which is that, and so that if something, God forbid, should happen, that the groundwork has been laid for a backlash.
That's right, and we bring all this up because we're to be discerning about what's going on around us. We're commanded to be discerning, and more than that, we're also commanded to show the love of Christ. That is why we condemn any idea of doing harm to another person. There is nothing that can justify that.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Even, you know, if there's something that's really, I mean, we are commanded to pray for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Not pray upon him, to pray for him. I disagree with most of what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And I am free in this country to say that I disagree with him. But I also am commanded as a Christian to pray for him.
Right, right. And to pray for the people of our nation and for the entire world. I mean, but it's being set up that we are the stumbling block and that we will go to any means to get our political way. And a true Christian isn't looking for a political solution to the problems of this world.
No.
Because there is none.
No. And I say rejoice.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things have been foretold from long ago.
Right.
And so let's just rejoice, folks, and be grateful that we live in live in a country where we are free to say these things. And because the day will come when those freedoms are gone for nearly everybody on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply what the Lord has told us will happen.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about about PID radio and about a pending change. An imminent change.
Well, you know what? We're finding that doing a daily show is, especially since the Gilbert Minute seems to morph daily, doing a daily show is really taxing. And some days we simply can't do it for many reasons. We now have my sister who's living with us about half the time during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I love visiting with her. I love it. I don't want to have to spend my whole day, you know, online trying to find political things that we can talk about or any other news items.
Right.
I really relish that time that I get to spend with her because many, many years went by that we didn't get to visit very much. So we're talking about, Derek and I have been talking about going back to an hour show that is produced once a week. You've got your View from the Bunker that's every Sunday. So more than likely this show would go up on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
But we would address one or two topics and stick with that, and when necessary we would, you know, invite a guest in to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of praying about how it's going to happen, and we've just started talking about it the last couple of days.
Yeah, But you're right, and that's why there have been a number of archive shows coming up lately. And mm-hmm. not that I object to that, because it's been my intention to get those archive shows back on the air.
I love bringing those shows up. So many amazing guests that we had in the past, and I know some of you know we blather a lot, and okay, we love your blather, but can we have more guests? Which is the whole reason why Derek now has the View from the Bunker.
Right.
That is to make sure that every week you get to hear a guest. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many amazing people out there that need the opportunity. And, you know, the Lord's given us this terrific way to communicate with all of you. So if we can bring those people to you, that's just, it's terrific for us.
Right.
But, you know, he and I, we can't do that every day. And not only is it the time taken to produce the show, actually record it, but then there's post-production that, mm-hmm. that takes at least twice as long. For every Gilbert minute that we're on, it takes two or three to post-produce. And,
yeah.
And funny thing, Derek and I, we love each other, and we actually like to have evenings free.
Yeah, with one another. But again, with company visiting, you know, Debbie, or with whomever else might come to visit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spend the entire evening with a laptop.
Why, if one of you came to visit us, we'd want to spend time with you.
Right.
So, which, of course, if you are ever in Central Indiana, please let us know. We'd love to have you come by the bunker.
Amen. Yeah, Sam loves to meet new people and show off his backyard. So that's probably going to happen fairly soon. So you'll be getting, most likely the way it will shake out, two weekly shows. One that's the two of us talking about the things that have caught our attention during the course of the week, and then one that's a long-form interview with a guest on a particular topic. And
the cool thing about doing it, the interview show, is it doesn't have to be an hour. I mean, there have been times when you talk to somebody longer than that.
Well,
those Gilbert minutes, those G-Men's.
That's right, you know, especially when you get the Collins brothers in there, because they've got a multiplier factor with Paul and Phil, so it turns out to be double. The G-Men. So
eminentizing the eschaton.
That's right. So anyway, that's what is ahead for PID Radio. Tomorrow evening, likely another archive show. And then we'll, God willing, back on Saturday with a longer program about a topic or two that we're kicking around behind the scenes. Our email address, if you'd like to comment, send us suggestions, is radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And if you find Shelfari, I've got some books listed up there, and I'd love to have you come. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love Shelfari. It's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
You can see what people are reading.
And there's some very interesting things we'd love to share through Shelfari.
That's true.
That you don't find on the New York Times bestseller list, that's for sure. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.